Praise the Lord, my sisters and brothers. It is good to be able to come together on another Sunday, another day that we have gathered together to meet to meet like this. Even though we're not able to be together physically, it's still a blessing to be able to meet in this fashion. I know y'all hear me say this all the time. I do not intend to keep you long. A little bit under the weather. Of all the things to catch, I think I've got a little cold or something. So, like I said, I don't intend to keep you long. We'll see what happens. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you and we glorify you, Lord, for being so good and for always being so good to us. We thank you for this day that you have blessed us to be able to see. Thank you for watching over us as we slumbered and slept through the night. And again, for waking us up this morning and allowing us to be able to come together. Even at this time, I pray, Lord, that you would even allow me, Lord, just to be an instrument used in your hand to give forth your word, Heavenly Father, what you would have to be said. And I pray, Father, for all who are listening, that they'll be able to receive it in the spirit that it is going forth, and that is through the spirit of our Lord and Savior, our Heavenly Father. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that your words will go forth and bring forth fruit, even meet for repentance. I pray, Lord, as always, that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you be glorified. Not because of me, Father, not anything to do with my pride, my ego, my vanity, Heavenly Father. But it's because of the power that comes through your word. This I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As we go right into the word today, I just want to let you know that we'll be focusing mainly from 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the 7th and 8th verses, even though we'll probably read the 7th through the 10th for your hearing, for the benefit of those who don't have their Bibles available to them. And from 1 Peter's 2nd chapter in the 9th verse. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, the 7th through the 10th verses in the New International Version. And in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in the 9th verse, we find these words written. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. First Peter, the second chapter, and the ninth verse from the King James Version. May the Lord bless it in the reading and the hearing of his word. Praise the Lord. Now, saints, believe it or not, with everything that is happening in the world, I'm sorry, y'all pray for me. And with all the information available at our fingertips, there are still many believers going around acting ashamed and embarrassed to own up being believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that some of my sisters and brothers are struggling in many parts of the world, even in many places here in the United States. So we understand that in some places, even fessing up can cost you your life. It's not for me to say what a believer in the Lord is supposed to do, is what the word says. What we see in the word is so many of our earlier saints who suffered for the cause of Christ to the point of, yes, even their lives were taken. And to tell and say that, yes, to give up our life for the cause of Christ, what a glorious thing to do. Of course, we believe that. But we're not there with those who are suffering and what kind of suffering they're going through and what it takes for them to hold on to their faith. Knowing that, yes, they may be suffering, may be in great pain, and to be able to tell them, but just, sister and brother, hold on. Because after a while, I don't know, this pain may last for days, weeks, months, it's not that, even that is nothing compared to the eternity you have to look forward to with our Lord and Savior. It's easy for me to say that because I'm not there with them going through what they're going through. I know that, even though that may be the thing to say to them. But right here in these United States, and I'm not talking about way in some woods back where things are really bad. I know that, I understand that. But I'm talking about even in, oh, those who are in the cities, what they call the concrete jungle, going to work every day and passing by people every day, riding the subways, driving their cars or what have you. Those who are, as some say, living their life of Riley. Things are not that bad for them. They got food in their cupboards and money in their pockets and decent homes to live in, and the list goes on and on and on. Even with some Christians living that way, they are still going around acting ashamed and embarrassed to own up being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when they're around other Christians, oh, it seems easy to act like a Christian. A lot of us know that. Oh, I can praise the Lord with you. I can sing the songs of Zion with you. I can clap my hands, pat my feet, and engage even in conversations about the Lord and how I feel about him. And the list goes on and on and on. But when some of these same Christians are in mixed company, I mean, with unbelievers. And they are asked to share the gospel with them, to witness to them, even to help lead them to the Lord. A lot of them freeze up. And I'm not talking about just new believers in the Lord, new Christians, as we say. I'm talking about those who are quick even to testify, "Oh, I've been serving the Lord a long time. I've been on this road for a minute, and I won't take nothing for my journey." And you have heard the different testimonies. But when you ask them to lead someone to the Lord, nothing. They shy away. They may out and out tell you that that's not my gift, and so forth and so on. Some need to be reminded of what Romans 1:16 says. And I quote, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone, everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." Not embarrassed, not ashamed. No, not of the gospel, not of speaking the gospel, not of acting. Y'all heard what I said? As the gospel says, because that very same gospel told me not to be just a hearer of the word, but a doer. When the scripture says to us, "We shall be witnesses," it doesn't mean to just go around telling about Jesus. Your life is a witness. We who are the called out ones, we are witnesses. What I say, where I go, what I do, I represent the Lord 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You are a witness. You have confessed Christ. You tell the world that you are a Christian. You tell the world that you are a believer. You are a witness. You are a living testimony. Yes. Yes. But there's still some who go around acting ashamed and embarrassed. Now, I'm going to point out three reasons why we do this. I'm not saying these are the only three, but I'm just going to point out three. Maybe you see yourself in one or more of these three. But let's look. And as we do this, I guess this is a great time for me to introduce you to our subject for today. Very simple subject. Be yourself and stop acting ashamed and embarrassed. Be yourself. And stop acting ashamed and embarrassed. Be yourself. Somebody said, in order to be yourself, you got to know yourself. If you are a Christian, be one. If you're not, be that. But be yourself. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? If you're not saved, why would you try to think about even trying to act saved? Who are you fooling? If you are saved, then why would you act differently? Three reasons come to mind. There's three I want to point out. In 2 Timothy, we find these words written, we just read not too long ago. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. And it goes on and says a little bit more, but I'm going to stop right there for a second. The Spirit God gave us. Now, what we need to understand, everyone who is saved, everyone who was born again, everyone who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life has within them the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, God has made us the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit now. We are, everyone who is saved. The Holy Spirit dwells within them. No, I don't have to tarry for it. No, I don't have to go into fasting and praying for it. No, I don't have to wait for him to come. Once I have received him as Lord and Savior of my life, and this is not lip service, this is what I believe in my heart. And I've done this. The Holy Spirit takes up residence within me. He dwells within me. And that's anyone and everyone who has done this. So we need to, first of all, understand that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. And this spirit does not make us timid. He gives us power. He gives us power. And one reason why so many Christians act embarrassed and ashamed to stand up as Christians is because they do not utilize the power that the Holy Spirit gives them. I said they don't utilize it. Let me tell you something. The Lord has showed us in his word where he has given some gifts, some talents, some buried the gifts, some hid the gifts. What good is it if you don't use it? The Lord gave it to you. He didn't make you use it. You're not a robot. He's given you that degree of free will where you could choose not to use it or not. Just as sure, if it's raining outside and you have an umbrella, it's your choice whether you want to use it or not. You can go out there and walk in the rain. That's your choice. You have choices. And the Lord has with many Christians. Now watch this now. He's given you that spirit of power. Okay? Love and self-discipline. That's the regular part, the rest of that verse, seventh verse. But he, if you choose not to use that power, this is why so many act ashamed and embarrassed. Because when the discussion of Jesus comes up, folks are talking about him, and somebody asks you to do simple things like even pray in public. And what do you think? They start talking about some of the things that Jesus has promised and what he has done, and just sharing things out of the word, and you feel embarrassed. Because for one thing, you may not have even been reading your Bible. Some of y'all saying, oh, that's not a problem. Let me tell you something. There are many, many People who say they've been a Christian for years, and if they open up their Bible, look like they just bought it last week. Some maybe even last night. How many of you have one of them Bibles? Maybe this is about your, I don't know, maybe your second, third, fourth, fifth Bible. But your Bible keeps getting all beat up because you write, got writing all in it and turned so many pages. You say, I got, you know, you hate to start over with it because you done got used to it. You got so many notes in it, but you said, I got to get another, I had to get another one because I couldn't even hardly read this one anymore. Pages done got flimsy. A worn out Bible. Good use, been put to good use. Somebody don't like that, but it's okay. It's okay. That's power. See, this power that the Holy Spirit gives us. Let me tell you the one thing that it does. This power, okay, allows the Christian that has it, that uses it to do what? To come across with what we call Holy Ghost boldness. The Holy Ghost boldness that allows you to talk about, stand up, speak up, preach, teach whatever you need to do for the cause of Christ, no matter where you are, no matter who you're talking to, because you are not ashamed and you're not embarrassed. You say, I don't know as many verses and scriptures that some others do, but what I know, and I'm willing to stand up and speak on it. I learned a few verses that are key verses when it comes to leading somebody to the Lord. That's what I know. I'm learning as I go along. I'm learning more and more, but I got these few down. Then that's what you use, and you use it with boldness, conviction. You're not hesitant, and you surely will not be ashamed to do so. That's what that Holy Ghost boldness does. That's what that power from the Holy Ghost enables you to do. Speak with power and authority. Because you know it, and you have no doubt about it. And that Holy Ghost boldness allows you, it's just like the boy that's been bullying you or girl that's been bullying you. But now, when you see them coming, but then you hear a voice, and you turn around, your big sister or your big brother is coming up behind you. Now you get a little bit, what we say, you got some heart now. Okay. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Gives you the heart. And even though you're in a company of different people, maybe even some learned people, you was feeling kind of intimidated. But when you know the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you feel the movement of the Holy Ghost, you ain't worried about it no more. That's what that power does. Amen. So one reason why people act ashamed because they're timid. And they're timid because they're not utilizing the power of the Holy Spirit. It says also in the 8th verse, of 2 Timothy. It says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Let me tell you something. He's telling you, oh, no. Don't be ashamed. Folks start talking about the Lord. People start bringing up the conversation about Jesus Christ. You should be, I want to join in. Maybe not because you have so much to say, but you want to learn more. But you're not ashamed no matter what. You're talking about my Lord. You talk about my Savior. You even talked about my Heavenly Father. Oh, yeah, I want to hear this. I want to hear it. Either to learn something or to learn something that I didn't know. Or to hear if what you're saying is correct. But you talk about my family. My Father, my Lord and Savior. Oh yeah, I'm gonna hear this. I don't need a special invitation either. If you're in public and y'all talking about it, people say, well, they look at me, why are you looking at me strange? How y'all doing? I heard y'all talking about my Heavenly Father, and I couldn't help but overhear. I heard y'all talking about my Lord and Savior. I couldn't help but overhear. I just wanted to hear what y'all was saying. If they're true believers, they'll welcome you right in. And if they're not, they might want to hear your input. But in any case, you won't be ashamed to enter the conversation one way or the other. So he said, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Don't be ashamed to hear people talking about the Lord. Especially, like he said, they're testifying for what he about what he has done for them. Oh, you could join in. See, if you don't know anything else, beloved, you may not know chapter and verse. You may not know book after book, but you should know your testimony. If you don't know anything else, you have a testimony and you should know it. So don't be ashamed when others start testifying about the Lord. Rejoice with them that you've just come across another family member. Again, why would you do that? Because of that power, that same Holy Ghost power. Well, have you not be ashamed to join in? And thirdly, what he says in this First Peter, second chapter, I want you to get this. And this is what he says. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and watch this, a peculiar people. A peculiar. Now, some of this you say, well, I got this. We're a chosen generation. I got that. We know that. A royal priesthood. I got that. A holy nation. I got that. A peculiar people. What does he mean by peculiar? I can go into a whole lot of things, but I'm going to try to make a little concise for you. You see, if believers, especially the ones I'm talking about that's going around acting embarrassed and ashamed, if they understand that being chosen and peculiar means that they are beyond the usual. You're not the normal everyday person. You're not. You're beyond that. You're special because you're part of the called out ones. You're not going along with everything that the rest of the world is doing. You've been called out. You're special. You've been chosen. And if you also understand that that means you've been purchased. You're preserved. Okay. And possessed. You belong. You belong to the Lord. You belong to God. God has you right there in the hollow of his hand. God has you, and nothing and no one can take you away from him. God's got you. Some of you are saying, well, I have failed the Lord. I've gotten off the path. I've backslidden. And I've done this here. You didn't hear what I just said. And what the word says, Lord says, you are mine. He has you. God knows that we grow weak. We are weak. I'm so glad he's got me. And it wasn't dependent on me having a hold of him. But he's got me. He's got me. He possessed me. And I'm glad. I'm glad of that. And if these believers, these Christians who are going around acting ashamed and embarrassed, would embrace this, understand this, believe this, Walk in this. You see, it's not enough just when people say, I believe in God, I believe in this, but do you believe it? If you believe it, you'll walk in it. You'll act like it. To make it simple, you'll act like it. If you believe that the road to where you are going is that way, that's the way you will go. These believers start utilizing, exhibiting, showing that power. That power that is already within them. I'm talking about those who are saved now. I'm not talking about those who are just going with lip service. Those around who are just saying that they're saved. I said those who are saved, those who have been born again. Well, yeah, you could be saved, you could be born again, and still go around acting ashamed and embarrassed because you're just a baby. Kids get easily embarrassed and ashamed over things we could look at and say it's not that important, but to a child it is. To some of us who are children in our Christian walk, in our Christian lives. Yes, you still get embarrassed and ashamed, not because you have not been studying, not because you have not been reading your Bible, but because you're new at it. You haven't read that much. You are still reading it. You are growing. But those of you who are adults now physically, you weren't born this age. You weren't born a mature Christian, an adult. You came out as a baby, an infant, and you had to grow. Same thing in your Christian lives, your Christian walk. You have to grow in it. And some of you right now might be in the infant stage, might be in the baby stage, might be in the toddler stage. I don't know. Maybe you're in your teen stage. I don't know where you are in it. And we understand that sometimes things come up and you might not be prepared. You might feel a little unprepared, and that might make you feel a little embarrassed when the conversations seem to be going over your head. That's why you humble yourself and you listen. You don't have to say anything. You listen. This is part of your growth. When scriptures are being said and quoted, there's no harm in you jotting them down. In this day and time, everybody wants to use their phones or tablets or whatever you have with you. You write it down, and first chance you get, you investigate it, you look it up in the scriptures. This is part of the growth. But so many, again, one, not utilizing the power. Two, they're ashamed because they have not been showing themselves approved. They have not been doing what it says, even in 1 Peter 3:15. What does it say there? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. He didn't say most of the time, always. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why are you looking forward to Jesus coming? Why are you looking forward to an eternity? Why do you believe that when you're dead, that's not the finish of it? What do you? You should be able to give an answer. You believe it? Why? Why? So you do not have to be ashamed. You should be able to give an answer to these questions. Yes, you should. And then, like we just said, when he says you are a chosen generation, beloved, let me share this with you, and I'm about finished. Be yourself and stop acting ashamed. He said, what do you mean by being myself? Be a believer, not just a believer. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are part of that. Like it. This host gives you your Holy Ghost boldness also. When I know that I'm a child of the King, when I know that I'm part of a lineage of royalty, when I know I'm part of a chosen generation, when I know all of these things, that makes me stick my chest out. Not in arrogance, not in vain boastfulness, but my boasting is in the Lord. I'm not going to go around and say, yeah, I'm this, I'm a king. No, I'm a child of the King. Let it be that. I want you to understand this. I'm boasting. I feel good about me. Why? Because I'm part of a royal priesthood. I'm part of a chosen generation. And I feel good about that. The Lord has given me a job to do. This is what you should be saying, every believer. For every believer, part of their job is to go out and help fulfill the dictates of the Great Commission, to go out and teach all nations. This is part of the believers' everyday goal. I want to do my part today. The Lord spared me today because He has something for me to do. I don't know how big my role is, but whatever it is, the Lord spared me. He wants me to do it. And that's what I want to do. That should be every believer's hope every day. Saints, let me share this with you. You need to be yourself. You're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. You are joint heirs with Christ. When everything is done on this side, when our mouths have been hushed to speak no more on this side, when our eyes closed to open up no more on this side, the Lord has a place for us. A place that He's going to prepare for us. Yes, He does. This is not the conclusion of it all. No, this is not. And because we know that, because the Word of God testifies to this, we can speak with Holy Ghost boldness. We're not timid. We're not intimidated. We're not ashamed. We're not embarrassed. We can stand and tell the world who we are. I can be myself. Oh, I'm not telling you to go against the laws of the land. You can't be on your job and decide to get up on one of the desks and start preaching. No, you may not be able to do that. But when you have an opportunity to share the good news, to share the gospel, oh, don't let that opportunity get by. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Now you speak up. You speak up. This is what we as believers do. We need to be ourselves. We need to be the believers we are. We need to be the witnesses we're supposed to be. Be the ambassadors that we're supposed to be. Because one day, our job is going to be over. Our assignment is going to be completed on this side. And we'll hear the Lord with all the accolades he has for his followers. I don't want to hear him ask me, did you be yourself? Did you act like my child? Did you act like one of my servants, one of my followers, one of my witnesses? I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say, yes, sir. I was not ashamed. I was not timid about telling folks who you are. Oh, I knew that it would make me unpopular. I knew that. But this is not a popularity contest. I knew that I wouldn't be invited to the parties anymore. But that's not the party I'm looking forward to going to. I want to be part of the party to help to do when they all get together and crown him Lord of Lords, King of Kings. That's what I want to be part of that party. When we all get together, angels in glory, everyone rejoicing. That's the party that I want to be a part of. Yes. Yes, Lord. I would love for you to give me long, healthy life. Yes, Lord. I want you to keep me in my right mind. Not so I could just sit around and, just watch the world go by. That I can be, again, be that witness, be that ambassador that you want. That's what I want to do. Where I can go around and be myself and stop acting ashamed and embarrassed. But with boldness, with conviction, with power, tell anyone, everyone, what thus says the word of God. God bless you, my sisters and brothers. I pray that you will be yourself and stop acting ashamed. Stop being afraid to open up your mouth. Stop being afraid to step on toes. That's not your goal to go around and do that. But it's preaching the word of God causes some people's toes to be stepped on. Praise the Lord. If taking my stand for the cause of Christ makes some people uncomfortable, praise the Lord. If making my stand as a child of God, when I'm in the company of co-workers, classmates, peers, buddies, pals, family, if they are professing to be religious in one area, yet I'm standing for Christ Jesus, if that makes them uncomfortable, praise the Lord. Even Jesus said he didn't come. He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. You have fathers going against sons. Not because they're being mean and evil, because one of them is standing for the Lord and the other one isn't. And that puts them at odds against each other. Don't you realize Once you stop acting ashamed and embarrassed of the gospel, it's going to put you at odds with some people that you might have felt that you were close to for years. But when you make your stand for the cause of Christ, that exposes you, but it also exposes them. God bless you, my sisters and brothers. Hope and pray. Hope and pray that some of you have said today, I want to be part of that group. I want to be part of those who are not ashamed or embarrassed to own up to being a Christian. And you might be part of a group who say, listen, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a believer. I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior today. I look around and I don't know what my friends and my buddies and my pals and the rest of my family is doing, but I want Jesus. And then there's some of you who are saying, yeah, I accepted the Lord some time ago, and since then I've gone astray. But I want you to know also that today is the day that you can come back. Get back on the path. The Lord is right there to say, come on, I never took your job away. Come right back to work. Praise the Lord. God bless you, sisters and brothers. I hope and pray that this word is truly open up some eyes, and maybe it's opened up your eyes to let you realize that you're one of those who've been going around acting ashamed and embarrassed and didn't even realize it. Didn't even realize it, but now you do. Again, God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you.